Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this special MLB Hot Topics Friday afternoon edition of the Chirko and Phillips Show with your host, me, Vito Chirko, and co-hosting the show with me today and providing his insight on all of the following MLB Hot Topics of today. His special guest and former Detroit Tiger, former Texas Ranger, and Toronto Blue Jay, Frank Catalanato of the Frank Catalanato Foundation, which does work for vascular birthmarks. It does work to promote the cause, to get the word out there about it. Vascular birthmarks, as his daughter actually was born with the condition, and through the help of Frank and the funds raised by the Frank Catalanato Foundation, they were able to get rid of it for his daughter. And now she is a beautiful young lady. He also has a new published book out, and it is available online and at all of your bookstores. He does book tours for it across the nation, and also does camps around the nation. And he just did one in Long Island, New York, as well as one in London, Ontario, in the Toronto area, along with his former Blue Jays teammates and a couple of Blue Jay legends as well, I believe. And Frank will be joining me in the next 5 minutes or so. But you know what? To avoid waiting for him to call us, just in case he doesn't have the call-in number at his service, I will actually call him right now on the show. So let's do that real quick, and I will be back with you in a minute or two while I attempt to call and connect with Frank Catalanato to get him on the show with me today to discuss some very interesting MLB Hot Topics.
You reach Frank. I'm not on my phone right now. Leave a message, and I'll get right back to you.
And so I have tried to call and get in touch with Frank so that we can get him on the show today to get his insight on some very good, highly interesting MLB hot topics in today's game. As there are a few that are being heavily debated as we speak right now. And hopefully Frank is able to join me to discuss and to share his insight, lend his opinion and thoughts on some very big, highly debatable MLB hot topics going on in today's game. And Frank has been busy, like I said, doing book tours, baseball camps across the nation, as he has a newly published book out and readily available at bookstores to buy and also available online on Amazon.com and all other outlets for books in your respective cities and states in this very great nation of the U.S. of A. So you can go get his book at one of those bookstores around or in your local area. It is a must-have, so you should go to buy it, or at least to lend it, to borrow it from somebody, to take a glance at it, give it a chance in, see what it has to offer, because it is one of the best baseball books out there right now for baseball fans of all ages, guys. And also, he does a great job through his foundation of promoting the cause of raising the level of national awareness and media attention, the global attention towards the condition of vascular birthmarks. And he is actually raising funds through his foundation, the Frank Catalinato Foundation, in various forms also. And one of those outlets for raising funds for his foundation is through a golf outing he has coming up on Monday afternoon. And Wally Szczerbiak, the former Cav, Boston Celtic, and Minnesota T-Wolf will be in attendance, as well as some former MLB players that Frank had the chance to play with and play alongside, such as Brad Wilkerson, the former Blue Jay. So some big names that will be attending, including some New York Islander hockey players, as he is a Long Island native and I believe still Long Island resident. So he still has his ties to there, and I believe the golf outing will actually be taking place in Long Island, New York, this upcoming Monday afternoon, in an effort to raise attention and funds for his Frank Catalinato Foundation. And its goal, its mission, and primary purpose is to really get the word out there about vascular birthmarks, something he has family ties to. You know, it hit him home. It really did, as it affected his daughter. When she was a very young girl and first born, she had the condition, and it was on her face, this birthmark, called a vascular birthmark. Well, he got the attention for it and was able to raise funds through his foundation for her to get rid of it. And now she doesn't deal with it anymore. She's a very beautiful young lady. And hopefully there are others that are also able to get this attention for their daughters, for their kids, and are able to get rid of it for them through the procedures that are readily offered out there through our hospitals in this nation. And Frank can shed some more light on that as he has joined me on the show. Frank, welcome. How's it going?
Are you still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording.
Here we go. Here is Mr. Frank Catalanato. Frank, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I was talking a little bit while waiting for you, Frank, about your daughter and her vascular birthmark and how she got that issue resolved and taken care of through the help of someone like you and your foundation and the funds you raise through your foundation for the National Vascular Birthmark Foundation.
Yeah, it's been they've been great to us. Early on in when my daughter was born, in 1999, she had a vascular birthmark, and it continued to get bigger, redder.
And then she got it taken care of through your help, Frank.
I'm sorry?
I didn't hear everything you said. You kind of went in and out.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying how thankful my wife and I were for the Vascular Birthmark Foundation. They helped us out, got us to the right doctors, and was able to help my daughter and get the right treatment. And now, you can't even tell that she had a birthmark, and she's doing great. And so my wife and I, we try to help them out and raise a lot of funds and raise awareness.
And you're doing both of those things through a golf outing that you're holding on Monday afternoon in your native, I believe, Long Island, New York, correct, with a few celebrities and professional athletes that are currently playing today and former ones as well that you played with during your playing days in Major League Baseball. Oh, and we lost Frank's connection to the show. His call was lost, and he got hung up here, but he called back in and is readily able to join us once again on the Chirko and Phillips show. Frank, welcome back. Sorry about that.
I believe it's
your phone that's giving you problems today, huh?
I think it must be my phone giving me some problems. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I was talking about the golf outing that you're holding, that you're hosting through your foundation on Monday afternoon, and it's the what number in terms of years that you've been holding this, hosting this event for through your foundation, Frank. And it's in your native Long Island, New York, correct?
It is. It's our second golf outing, and it's in Huntington, New York, and we're looking forward to a great day. We've got a full field of golfers already, so it seems like we're going to have another good event.
All right, let's dive into the MLB hot topics in today's game now, starting out with the Boston Red Sox, Frank, and their clubhouse issues involving manager Bobby Valentine and their star players, Adrian Gonzalez and Dustin Pedroia specifically. Now, there's also been rumored that John Lester has had a role in the get-together, the mutiny that the players grouped together to go about doing back in the month of July. And they reportedly discussed ways to get rid of Bobby V, telling ownership that they didn't want to play for him any longer. Now, your thoughts on how Bobby V can get this clubhouse back together on his side and produce winning baseball in the process the rest of the way this season for the Bo Sox?
Well, I don't know if there's a way he can get the guys back. It seems like he's lost them. And I think he lost them a while ago. It seemed like in spring training when he came out and said some things about Kevin Youkilis, who's a very respected player on that team, a lot of players were not happy about it. And sometimes, when you have a manager that is going to be vocal to the media and say things as opposed to saying it to the player themselves behind closed doors, it aggravates players. And it seems like sometimes Bobby is, thinks it's all about him and sometimes says some things that he probably shouldn't say. So I think it's a lost cause now. I think he's lost the players, and I don't see them playing hard for him anymore this year.
Now, they don't want to play for him any longer, but it's also the case where there's a lack of talent, specifically in the starting rotation for the Boston Red Sox this season, the 2012 campaign, as their top two starting pitchers going into 2012 that they relied on so heavily in previous years, Josh Beckett and John Lester, are both under 500 on the season by at least four games. As Lester is 6-10, and then Beckett's 5-10, both with plus five ERAs as well. So they've definitely struggled and slumped mightily after last year's campaign and the years leading up to 2012, in which they were top of the line, front line, ace caliber starting pitchers for the Red Sox. I mean, they were all-stars, Cy Young candidates in the AL as well, and now they're middling back end of the rotation arms. So what has happened with them, and doesn't blame have to be placed on them before you have to place it on Bobby V, the manager, even though he's lost a lot of those guys in the clubhouse, because it really is a player's league. The players have to perform and get it done on the field. It's not always the manager's fault where he's putting these players in the lineup and on the field, because it takes the players to step up and to produce, first off and most importantly, Frank, as you probably know yourself from being a player.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, definitely the blame, there shouldn't be all the finger pointing at Bobby Valentine. The players have to perform, and that's the bottom line. And when you go out on the field, you owe it to your team to give it your best. It just seems like with this particular team, for some reason, they're not performing well. They're all having down years, most of them. And you know, and when you have that a little bit of, you know what, the manager, I'm not happy with the manager, I won't run through a wall for this guy, then everything comes together, and I think that's why they're playing as poorly as they are. But yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, the players, they have to have some pride, and they've got to play hard for themselves, if not for the team. So they definitely have to step up themselves.
And really to keep their jobs, too, going forward as professional baseball players. But forget that for the moment, Frank, and let me get your thoughts on Bobby V's protection, his level of protection in staying as the Boston Red Sox's manager going forward after 2012. Do you think he's safe after this season, or do you think his job's on the line and he's on his way out after or at the conclusion of this season?
Well, I think they're definitely going to have to discuss it, and there's going to be discussions, and I don't know what the owner and the GM, what they're thinking and how they're feeling. But if you have most of the players that are coming to you saying, listen, this guy, we don't like the way this guy runs the ship, they definitely have to think about going in a different direction. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I definitely think it's got to be discussed. And you don't want to play a season with a bunch of disgruntled players.
That's not going to produce winning baseball ever. And honestly, in my opinion, Frank, I think it was a mistake from day one when they hired Bobby V as the successor to Tito Francona, who had been with the Red Sox for so long, won those two World Series in the first one in nearly 100 years. So replacing him with Bobby V, I don't think was the right guy for this season or long-term for the Boston Red Sox and their franchise.
I totally agree with you. I when the move was made, I was the first one that said, I don't think this is a good move. And, you know, the team had so much respect for Tito, and he did such a great job there. And then and he was all about the players. He was all about the players are the ones that are producing and are helping us win these championships. And then you get a guy come in that wants the media attention on him, and you know, that it kind of takes away from the players. And I don't think the players were very happy about that. And, you know, I had a feeling it wouldn't work out.
Yeah, all about himself and way too controversial. Whereas Tito was very under the radar, and he let his players receive the attention, do the talking. He was definitely a player's manager, much more than Bobby V. Even though I think some of his antics are intentionally done to maybe get his players on his side in terms of getting ejected at, you know, some point during the game, when it comes to the point where he thinks it's necessary, I think that's a way to get the players on his side. But obviously it hasn't worked for him in Boston this year. And I don't think it will end up working at all for Bobby V in Boston. I think it is the end of the line after this season. And for sure, Frank, if they don't make the postseason, which would be for a third straight season in Boston.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, if they don't make the postseason again, which it looks like they won't, you know, there's going to be some more pressure. I know the fans are going to be unhappy. It wouldn't surprise me if they let him go after this season.
Let's switch gears now, Frank, and turn our attention to Steven Strasburg and the question mark regarding him and his innings limit, which has been handed down to him by GM Mike Rizzo and the Washington Nationals organization. Now, they are in the midst of a pennant race and are on the verge of winning their first division title and their first postseason berth in franchise history, or at least the first one, Frank, since moving to Washington from Montreal, where they've suffered through so many rebuilding under 500 seasons. And now they're finally in contention, have the best record, not only in the NL, but in all of baseball, and they want to shut down Steven Strasburg for the final month of the season and for the entire postseason. Does that make any sense to you, Frank? Because it doesn't to me whatsoever. When you got your ace who can carry the rotation deep into the postseason potentially, and you're going to shut him down and on a team that hasn't seen winning baseball in a very long time and really forever, Frank.
It doesn't make any sense to me, and if I was a player on that team, I'd be very upset. You know, to make it to the playoffs is very difficult, but to be on a team like they have now, a team that has a chance to win the World Series, is it's very rare and very special. So to basically just pull the rug out from underneath those players, I think it's wrong. And if they knew they wanted to do this and limit him, why wouldn't they just start his season a little bit later and maybe say, all right, you know what, you're not going to start pitching until the middle of May or the end of May. That way he'd be able to pitch when it counted in September and October. So I think it's a little bit ridiculous. Who's to say when they're going to get back to the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they may never get back there. So I think you got to strike while the iron is hot. And, you know, it's funny. I even read the other day that Strasburg's dad even is upset that they're not letting him pitch, past the 160-inning mark limit. So, you know, something that is unfortunate, and like I said, the players can't be happy with it.
Yeah, and even though the Nats' window of opportunity is extremely expansive, Frank, because they have such a young core of players that they can build around for the long-term future in Strasburg and Harper, potential superstars of their game. You never know what's going to happen in terms of injuries and losing players due to free agency. Who knows if the Nats will be able to keep and retain all of these players going forward. So it might be a one-time thing for the Nats. You never know if they'll have the best record in baseball and have this good of a chance to go deep in the postseason once again, even though they have some nice young arms in the rotation and guys like Harper and Mike Morse in the lineup. It's not a foregone conclusion that this will happen again where they will be able to repeat their success and do it year in and year out at this rate, Frank, most importantly.
Yeah, who's to say they'll be back anytime soon. So, yeah, you know, like I said, it's a little disappointing. I do understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to, you know, protect his investment. You know, this is a guy that they're paying a lot of money to. But still, you know, I would go for it, give it a shot. Maybe if you want to slow him down a little bit going into the playoffs, I would understand that innings wise, but just to shut him down is a disappointment. Because, you know, selfishly, I was looking forward to watching these guys play in the playoffs. They're a very young, exciting team, and I couldn't wait to see what damage they could do.
And the thing is, you know, they're producing winning baseball with Strasburg. So why not keep him going? Ride that horse to the playoffs and deep into the postseason, which is definitely a possibility with the rest of their young arms, too, as they have extreme rotation depth. So they definitely have a legit shot, so why not let them do it and let their fans enjoy all this run, all this great baseball being played out on the diamond every day that they play in Washington, because you never know if they'll be able to see it again. So I think they should forego all of the concerns they have with him becoming injured once again and let him pitch. Let him pitch in the postseason. And you know what? If it's that big of an issue for Rizzo and the Nats organization, then let him skip the final month of the season and then be healthy and fresh for the postseason, where they need him to be their ace, to be that horse, and to pitch every fifth day and in potential game sevens in both the NLCS and World Series. Because even as good as guys have been for the Nats in the rotation, arms such as Gio Gonzalez and Zimmerman, who actually, Frank, has the second best ERA in all of baseball right now, you never know what you're going to get out of them come late in the season. Whereas Strasburg, with his dominant, overpowering stuff, even though he's young, in his early 20s, there's more potential to get great stuff and good, effective performances and outings out of him every fifth day in the postseason than guys like Zimmerman and Gonzalez, who don't have nearly as overpowering stuff as Strasburg.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And now the thing is, I believe they can win a first-round series, Frank, because of those arms like Gonzalez, Zimmerman, and also Edwin Jackson, the former Detroit Tiger. I think he can get it done as well. He's pitching the postseason, actually. So I believe he can definitely be that guy who maybe steps up, rises up to the occasion, and gives them some effective performances out of the rotation as their number four man or number three come postseason time. But going deep into the postseason is much more of a big question mark for the Nats, obviously, without Strasburg being able to pitch in those big vital games, those game fives and game sevens, when the Nats season could potentially be on the line, and definitely in the case of a game seven, obviously, Frank. Now,
yeah, well,
do you believe they can win a first-round series still without Strasburg as well?
Yeah, I definitely think they can, and they may be able to go further than that because they do have some depth, and like you said, their pitching is pretty good beyond Strasburg. So it's still going to be exciting. Just because they don't have Strasburg doesn't mean that they can't win this thing, but with him, it would have been a heck of a lot easier.
And much more fun to watch, much more exciting for the Nats baseball fans and baseball fans, including you and I and all across the nation as well.
Definitely.
And the thing is, they have the bullpen arms, too, with Storen and then Clippard. So they definitely have the staff, not only the rotation, but the pen. But will they get it done without Strasburg after the first round? I don't think so, Frank. I think that's the verdict from both of us on the Washington Nats playing postseason baseball without their ace, Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch, though. You know, will this team step up to the challenge, or will they, you know, complain and argue and whine that they don't have their best pitcher and just kind of fold under that pressure?
And one real quick topic that I want to go over with you, Frank, before I let you go today, and it involves Melky Cabrera and his 50-game suspension for using PEDs. Now, how big of a blow is that to the Giants and their playoff chances, as they're in the midst of a pennant race themselves, just like the Nats, along with the L.A. Dodgers in the NL West? I believe the Dodgers have a one-game lead over the Giants in the NL West as the division standings stand today. And the Giants are right in the mix also for one of those two wild card spots out in the NL. But is their lineup good enough to get it done without Melky Cabrera going forward? Can they hang on to at least retain a wild card spot in the NL, if not the division lead over the LA Dodgers? Or is it a big enough blow to their chances where they're not going to get in now, Frank? Because
yeah,
it hurts their lineup that much.
I don't think they're going to get in now. I think, you know, I don't think their lineup is good enough anymore. You know, you're taking away the best hitter on their team. This guy was having an unbelievable season. And, you know, you take him away, and they're not great offensively. So I think the team that's extremely happy right now are the Dodgers. I think this division is the Dodgers for the taking. I mean, the Dodgers, you know, they should go ahead and be able to take this division.
And the Giants have to be ecstatic now and elated, totally elated that they acquired Hunter Pence when they did at the deadline. An extra bat who can play the corner outfield position, which was a glaring need before Melky Cabrera, and especially now with him out for the foreseen future for the rest of this season, and then also the first round of the postseason as they make it that far. It's a big, big thing having Pence in the middle of that order. So they're definitely glad they have him now, along with a healthy Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah, they were pretty smart to go ahead and get him because, like you said, had they not had him offensively, this team would not be very good. So, yeah, he's going to help out, but I just don't think they have enough firepower to get to the playoffs and to stave off the Dodgers.
Now, what are your thoughts, Frank, on the head of the Belco steroid scandal and the founder of Belco coming out recently, I believe on Wednesday, after the news of Cabrera's 50-gamer went public? And he came out and said that the use of steroids, and specifically PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs in baseball, among today's players is rampant, and that as many as half, so nearly 50% of the current MLBers, MLB players of today's game, use synthetic testosterone to improve their play on the field. Do you believe Victor Conti and his claim that as many as 50% of the players in today's game use roids, and specifically synthetic testosterone?
No, it's ridiculous. It's you know, 10 years ago, it wasn't 50%. There might have been four or five guys on a team maybe that were doing it. So it's really ridiculous. I know that they've cleaned the sport up very well. And from what the players that are in the game now that I still talk to, they say it's basically out of the sport. There might be a guy here and there that are trying to sneak it through, but the guys that are trying to sneak through, they're getting caught. And I think Victor Conti is just trying to create a little buzz and basically make baseball look bad.
Well, Frank, thank you very much for your time today. It was a pleasure having you on, and I look forward to speaking to you once again before the end of this season or during the MLB postseason, Frank.
Thanks a lot, Vito.
Have a good one, Frank, and good luck with your golf outing on Monday afternoon.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
And that was Mr. Frank Catalanato, and he is responsible for heading the Frank Catalanato Foundation, which does work to promote awareness and funds for the National Vascular Birthmark Foundation. A very good guy, has a very good heart, and definitely a very good speaker who lends tremendous insight on the game of baseball, a former major leaguer who played for my Detroit Tigers, as well as the Toronto Blue Jays and Texas Rangers. And he did a camp out in Toronto this past week, or last week actually, in London, Ontario, with a few ex-Toronto Blue Jay players, and I believe some of their great, some of their best players of all time. So he did that out in London, Ontario, as part of one of his baseball camps. And he also went back to his hometown where he still resides in Long Island, New York, to do a summer baseball camp as well this past month. So I hope his golf outing on Monday for his foundation goes well. It definitely features some great ex-professional athletes and current ones that play for the New York Islanders, and a broadcaster, a guy who played in the NBA by the name of Wally Szczerbiak. So a few big names who will be out there to support the Frank Catalanato Foundation and its work to support and raise funds for the National Vascular Birthmark Foundation. It's truly a pleasure having Frank on with me, and I hope to speak to him again and to you all again in the very near future, and specifically on my show next Wednesday night, the summer finale of the Turco and Phillips Show with my co-host and University of Detroit Mercy all-time leading scorer and hoops legend, Rashad Phillips. I hope you're looking forward to it. I know that I am for sure. Have a great weekend, everyone, and talk to you then. Goodbye for now.